This is The Takeaway, and I'm Tanzina Vega, and we begin today with the horror in South Florida.
She texted us, and at first we thought it was a hoax because in today's day and age, you just never know.
At the moment, we have a white male, we're told, wearing a burgundy shirt.
She kept texting me, and she said that she was hiding, that she was fine, but for me to please call 911 because there was somebody hurt.
We heard the police coming down the hallway, banging on doors, and I said, who are you? And they said, the police, and I said, prove it. They showed me their badge, so I opened the door. And I'm not going to open the door for anybody, you know, they say they are without proof.
And as more details become available, we'll have a deeper conversation about why these things are happening. But it's a day you pray will never happen, as has happened.
I don't think we could have been more prepared than we were today. I mean, we talked to every single class period that sat in front of us, you know, about what to do in this situation. I mean, they knew what to do, we knew what to do. And even still, even with that, we still have 17, you know, casualties, 17 people that aren't going to return to their families. And to me, that's totally unacceptable.
I thought I was going to die.
You come to the conclusion this is just absolutely pure evil. This state does not tolerate violence. We have law enforcement that will always show up to defend our safety.
This happens nowhere else other than the United States of America. This epidemic of mass slaughter. It only happens here not because of coincidence, not because of bad luck, but as a consequence of our inaction. We are responsible.
At least 17 people are dead after a shooting in a school in Parkland, Florida on Wednesday. 15 others have been injured. The shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School started just before dismissal. The suspect is a former student who had been expelled for disciplinary reasons. Some students describe the shooter as troubled and a social outcast. This is the 18th school shooting this year alone, according to the nonprofit Every Town for Gun Safety, which advocates for gun control. Late this morning, President Donald Trump addressed the nation.
Our entire nation, with one heavy heart, is praying for the victims and their families. To every parent, teacher, and child who is hurting so badly, we are here for you, whatever you need, whatever we can do to ease your pain.
He went on to say that when he meets with governors and state attorneys general later this month, making schools safer will be a top priority.
It is not enough to simply take actions that make us feel like we are making a difference. We must actually make that difference. In times of tragedy, the bonds that sustain us are those of family, faith, community, and country.
The president did not, however, say what those changes might be. David Smiley is covering the shooting for the Miami Herald, and he gave us this update earlier today.
What it seems like is that, you know, though public schools prepare for instances like this quite frequently, they train teachers and administrators on different levels of threats, code black, code red, active shooter, someone on campus. In this instance, because authorities say crews thought to pull the firearm and lure people out of their classrooms, it sounds like schools officials hadn't necessarily planned for something like this, or if they had, they were still in the process of training everybody and preparing schools for such a devious scenario.
And there was a report yesterday, as I was sort of following the news, there were some students who were talking to reporters, and the trauma, you can hear the trauma in their voices. They would break down and cry. How are the students? Have you had a chance to talk to any of the students, the teachers, or any people in the community who are directly dealing with this right now?
I have not personally had a chance to do that. My colleagues were at the school, have been on phones with families and students, and everybody, from what it sounds like, is very shaken up. To some extent, there are students there who feel like they should be more upset, but are still in shock and unable to process the fact that they have friends who have been killed, that a place that is supposed to be a safe space is now going to be somewhere where they can never go back without being traumatized again to some extent. Families who were at a hotel late last night were clearly shaken up and very upset. I think there's just a lot of trying to come to grips with what happened in that sleepy suburban neighborhood. And I think the real grieving is going to begin over the next couple of days as parents have to prepare to bury their children. And everybody comes to grips with the fact that this did happen in their community.
That was David Smiley for the Miami Herald. And now we turn to Jared Moskowitz. He's a Democratic member of the Florida House of Representatives representing the 97th District, which includes Parkland and Northern Broward County. And he's also an alumni of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas.
So I was on the floor of the House. We were in session. We were debating. I don't even remember the bill now that we were debating. And my wife called me hysterical crying that she was unable to pick up our four-year-old from preschool because they were on lockdown. The news started to break. Moments after that, I let the speaker know that I was immediately leaving and I was going back to the district. I went to the airport, flew into Miami, and then landed in the evening and then drove to the district. And I was here with the attorney general and the governor on the ground around 8 o'clock.
Jared, I'm not going to pull any punches here. Americans on either side of the political divide are just sick of hearing these stories. They're sick of seeing students and adults and staff running for their lives. This is becoming a ridiculously sad situation in this country, to say the least. What is your response to this? I mean, I was even reading tweets from students who were saying, you know what, this is something that they're going to forget about at the end of the day.
The students are right. And we can say Americans are sick of this, but not most Americans, because most Americans keep reelecting people who want to do nothing. I'm not saying we have to do everything. I'm not saying that we have to restrict freedoms guaranteed by the Constitution, but doing nothing, that's what we do. We do nothing. We say that we can pray. But let's be clear, God didn't do this. This is a man-made issue, and it is only to be solved by man.
And we hear a lot of people very frustrated with gun laws. We hear, there were some parents that were on television yesterday who were just saying, you know, you think about this happens in other places and you see it on the news, but when it hits home, it's devastating. Gun laws are one part of the problem. The other narrative that's emerging from this story was that the shooter had a troubled past and that parents and or students should have...
It's the same story. He's got a troubled past. The only thing that changes is the name of the shooter, the name of the victims, and the location of the school or the location of the event. That's the only thing that changes. Everything else is consistent. Our reaction is consistent. Doing nothing is consistent. The one thing we are when it comes to shooting is we are very consistent. We will do nothing.
You know, there is the sense of frustration is palpable. Representative Moskowitz, but what can people actually do? Because I feel like we are at a breaking point emotionally. There are, you know, journalists on air who are, you know, very emotional about this, our ability to just be objective about these stories is almost impossible at this point.
You know what I tell people? I tell people that all they can do is vote, but I'm not even sure that's enough anymore. Because we've gerrymandered every single solitary House seat in Congress in Washington, D.C., and across state houses in every state in the nation. So as a result, there's no more moderates. There's no more running to the center. It's running to the left and running to the right. It's running to save your own seat, running to save your own hide. And so we did that. We set up these seats so that there would be no competition. There would be no compromise. And now we have the system that we created. And that's why nothing gets done. It isn't just the NRA. It's that we don't have enough people that can talk to each other anymore. Because compromise is a dirty word. Because it means you've given up your principles. And so this is a collective failure.
And you are a parent as well. How do you, as a parent, how do you feel about this?
As a parent, I'm glad my kid is 4. And my other son is 1, so that they don't see this They won't even know that this happened in their neighborhood until they're much older. But I can tell you, when I was at the hotel yesterday with the victims' families who wanted to know if their child was missing, and they were waiting for hours to find out the news from law enforcement or from the FBI that their kid was either mangled in a hospital or laying on the ground in the school, I never saw parents pray more that their child was mangled in a hospital. People were coming together, different faiths, different backgrounds, ethnicities, economic statuses, praying that they hoped their kid was in a hospital with gunshot wounds. That's the world we live in. That's what people are praying for. It's sickening.
That was Jared Moskowitz. He's a Democratic member of the Florida House of Representatives representing the 97th District, which includes Parkland and Northern Broward County. He's also an alumni of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. After I spoke to Representative Moskowitz, Florida officials held a press conference to address the shooting. Governor Rick Scott outlined several of the actions he's planning to take in response.
Next week in Tallahassee, I'm going to sit down with state leaders. We're going to have a real conversation about two things. How do we make sure, when a parent is ready to send their child to school, that in Florida, that parent knows that child is going to be safe? Number two, how do we make sure that individuals with mental illness do not touch a gun?
Rob Brunsey, the superintendent of Broward County Public Schools, also spoke and said that students have been clear about the response they want to see.
I will tell you that students have been reaching out to me, reaching out to staff, probably board members and others, saying that now is the time for this country to have a real conversation on sensible gun control laws in this country.
Later this hour, we'll be speaking with a father who lost his six-year-old daughter in the Newtown shooting of 2012. He'll tell us what he and his wife did in the wake of that tragedy. And parents, we really want to hear from you today. How do the stories about school shootings impact the way you think about your kids' safety when they go to school each day?
My name's Lisa. I'm calling from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Yes, my son has been in essentially active shooter training since Sandy Hook. That is, since second grade, they have had lockdown where they prepare for a shooter like that.
But some on Facebook, like Marshall, said no, he's not worried about safety. Quote, back in the day, they would hire people to stand outside the schools with a gun. You've got to fight fire with fire.
Hi, my name's Eric. I'm a teacher in Broward County, 6 miles from where this happened. And every school, including Douglas, has a resource officer on call at the school at all times with a gun.
Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Our number again is 877-8-MY-TAKE, or tweet us at The Takeaway.